Come to order. Quorum is present. May I have a motion to approve the minutes for January 28th? Senator Eakin moves.
Yes, I'll move the minutes.
Thank you. Moves approval of the minutes for January 28th, 2013. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please say aye.
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 Those opposed, motion prevails and the minutes are approved. The first item on the agenda today is Senate File 90. And I'm sorry, Senator Sendrum, I should also say for anybody who is here to provide input on Senator Dibble's bill, which is Senate File 26, we are not hearing that today. So in case anyone here is interested in that. So welcome to the committee, the subcommittee, Senator Sendrum. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And for purposes of procedure and to bring, if you will, the bill in order, there is an A1 amendment. I wonder if somebody can help me with it.
Sure. Senator
to delete Newman. All amendment.
Senator Newman, is that okay?
I would so move.
Senator Newman moves the A1 amendment to Senate File 90. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? The amendment is adopted.
And then, Madam Chair, just a little bit of explanation about this. And by the way, I have Ms. Beth Frazier from the Secretary of State's office to help me with some technical questions if you have some, but maybe just to maybe purport a little bit what this is all about and why I'm here today. As a result of a fix to in 2011 to a situation in Washington County where I think there were 20 to 25 judges all filed as a result of a last day filing and or a dropout or withdrawal and so on and so forth. There was a fix attempted to be made to in 2011 to deal with that. And as a part of that fix, something happened that affected an election in Rochester last year. And that was on the day of the first day of absentee balloting in Rochester, our city council president, a nonpartisan race, suffered a brain hemorrhage and died. And as a result then, and this was, I think, on June 27th, as a result of the state law being as it was, they were not able to open up that candidacy again, even though it was, in many cases, seemingly several months before the election. And so this brings into question, that procedure and whether or not we could fix it. And basically what this bill does is in situations of a nonpartisan race where you have one or two candidates, it would allow for a reopening of the a nomination process, so to speak, or the opening of the filing if the candidate dies more than 84 days before the date of the general election. Obviously, if it's within that period, why you would continue on an election just as Rochester did this year. Just for information purposes, the deceased person did win that election. But nonetheless, now, of course, we're facing a general election a special election to deal with that. So the key here is dies more than 84 days before the general election, it would allow for a reopening. So with that, if there's any questions, either I or my good friend from the Secretary of State's office will try to answer them.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Sendrum. Difficult situation without question. Question I have, though, is especially in the situation of a death where you clearly have an unusual circumstance, was the avenue of going to court? Because under those 84 days, you could still have a death, and so there's still a window of opportunity. But just the question in regards to this, did the city of Rochester consider going to court to resolve the situation at all?
I can, Madam Chair and Secretary, Senator Kiffmeyer. There was thought of that. I was in a meeting specifically with the city council and the city attorney on that. It was felt, at least by the city attorney, who I think had consulted with the League of Cities legal staff, that wasn't an avenue for us at that point. And so it was set aside. But there, I will tell you, there was a fair amount of thought at that point given to this, and it was decided, at least locally, that that wasn't an avenue, that would not work.
Well, Madam Chair, just as a follow-up, it seems it is not that I disagree with your language, and I think moving the partisan to partisan and moving the nonpartisan out of that area so that helps to make it clear what the process is for nonpartisan, I think is an excellent thing to do, and I think some of these same procedures that are done for partisan offices should be there. So I don't disagree with that. I think it just begged the question, though, of in such a clear situation, because we had another case where somebody did go to court in the same election cycle and did have a person's name removed from the ballot. I believe that was Representative Gauthier's election, where they did go to court, and that name was removed from the ballot, and other things happened. So we have a case in fact here where we have people went to court, got a name off the ballot, and it wasn't even a death. And so certainly for a death, which is even more precise and more clear in regards to the situation. So do you know if the city of Rochester took a look at that court case that was ongoing at that time or the results from that? Do you know if they took that into consideration for their decision-making?
Madam Chair and Senator Kiffmeyer, I asked that question because I had the same concerns. And my answer given to me by the city attorney, it was the difference between a nonpartisan and a partisan race. And had Rochester had partisan elections, which they don't, it would have worked. But since it was nonpartisan, it did not work. And so, again, more feelings of frustration about the whole thing, but it was all this partisan, nonpartisan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Senjum, I think it's more the issue of, I think when you go to court, I don't know, because current law is still current law. And so I appreciate your comments in that regard, though I would certainly have been more strongly advising that, especially in a situation of a death, which is so clear and so obvious, that going to court should be a valid option for you. But that is under the water, gone. But I just know that even if we do this right now, there are still things that can come up. And I think the point is that in regards to your city, lightning doesn't usually strike twice. But should it do so, please, that is an avenue to you. And that is, I think, exactly why we do have the courts. Yeah. My comments. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Is there anyone in the audience who would like to testify on Senate File 90? Seeing no one who wish to testify, Senator Senjum, we're going to lay over this bill for possible inclusion in a larger elections administration omnibus bill, if that's acceptable. Excuse me.
Just making sure we adopted the amendment.
We did adopt the amendment. Yes, we did. So at this time, we'll lay over Senate File 90. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senjum and Ms. Frazier for being
here. Appreciate it. Appreciate the committee members.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Senator Eakin. Members, this Senate File 216 should look familiar to those of you who were here previously. It's a bill that Washington County brought forward last session, and it was ultimately vetoed by the governor because of a lack of nonpartisan or bipartisan support. What the bill does is modifies the redistricting panel lines for House District 39A and 39B, which is located in Stillwater Township in Washington County. It would affect approximately 12 people. And the rationale for why it was opposed by Democrats last session was because we shouldn't make changes to the redistricting panel's recommendations right before an election. And so now that the election has passed, I don't anticipate that there'll be any opposition from our side of the aisle. As you'll see, Senator Housley and Senator Claussen have also signed this with me, or have co-signed this bill, and joining me today to explain it a little bit more is Jennifer Wagenius, who's the Director of Washington County Property Records and Taxpayer Services.
Okay, Ms. Wagenius, if you could state your name for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I'm Jennifer Wagenius from Property Records and Taxpayer Services at Washington County. As Senator Sieben indicated, during the state redistricting process in 2012, Stillwater Township was split into House Districts 39A and 39B, with 12 residents in District 39B and all others in 39A. While the township was able to have a combined polling place, this did require us to have a separate precinct and a separate ballot style for these 12 potential voters. Modifying the boundary will ease administrative burden for the county and the township in future elections. This adjustment would add 12 voters to District 39A, and District 39B would lose 12 potential voters. Both members of the House that are impacted by this change have authored the House bill modifying the same boundary. There's no opposition anticipated. Stillwater Township requested a plan correction in 2012, and we have been in communication with the Office of Secretary of State on our desire to adjust this boundary during the 2013 legislative session. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wagenius. And Senator Sieben.
Senator Eakin, if I could move the A1 amendment, it repeals a section of statute. Council brought this forward that has to do with the redistricting bill from, or there are fixes to the redistricting bill of 2000. Okay. So if we could please move the A1 amendment.
Sure. Senator Sieben moves the A1 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails and the amendment is passed. So, any questions at all? Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Sieben, in looking at Governor Dayton's veto letter from last year on this bill, he indicates there were three reasons why he vetoed it. One would be that it sets a bad precedent and invites further legislative adjustments. He indicates that it would lead to, or may lead to, additional lawsuits and voter confusion, and that the bill did not have broad bipartisan support. Senator Sieben, what is different this year that would warrant going forward in view of Governor Dayton's veto message? And has he indicated in any way that he would support it this year?
Senator Sieben.
Senator Newman, it's my understanding that that the governor would be supportive this year, first because it would have broad bipartisan support, and the reason that people like myself, and if Senator Rest were here, I think she was instrumental in last year's opposition to the bill, is because we shouldn't be, as a legislature, amending the legislative boundaries right before a general election. So the panel came out with its recommendations, and the bill from last year was modifying the district boundaries, not only for Senate District 39, but also for 49. And so now that the general election has passed, I think that some of the issues that were raised by Governor Dayton, and certainly some of the concerns that the members of the minority party raised last year, would be assuaged, or they wouldn't be an issue right now.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Sieben, this is a district that I am not particularly familiar with. Could you just, again, summarize for me what it is that you believe this bill is going to accomplish?
Sure. Of course, Sieben. Senator Newman, I think, is the map in members' packets?
Yes.
The map. This district is actually located in Senator Housley's district in Washington County. It borders Stillwater, and it would essentially move, this section here, that you can see on the original boundary. The 12 people that live in that would join into 39B. Is that correct?
They'd move up.
Oh, I'm sorry. They would move up to 39A. And so, you know, it was just kind of one of these odd things why 12 people from Stillwater Township has a population of approximately 2,500 people, is it? 2,400 people. So 12 people from Stillwater Township were in a different house district than the remaining 2,300-some people in Stillwater Township. So this is moving the 12 people that aren't in Stillwater Township into the same house district, 39A, as the rest of the residents of Stillwater Township.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Newman,
thank you for your patience. And I understand that by moving this boundary, we're going to affect 12 voters in Stillwater Township. I guess my underlying question is, for instance, in my hometown of Hutchinson, the Supreme Court saw fit to draw the boundary between 18A and 18B right down the main street of Hutchinson. So we have Representative Grunhagen represents those on the east side, and Representative Erdahl represents those on the west side of the main street of Hutchinson, which is really an unusual situation, at least to my way of thinking. So my underlying question is, you know, given it just doesn't seem to be all that unusual to have a boundary of this type. Why is it important to move the underlying reason? Why is it important to make sure that these 12 people are in one district rather than the other?
Senator Newman.
A fiscal reason, a voting reason that makes them difficult to get to the polling place. Why are we taking up the time to do this?
Senator Sieben.
Senator Newman, it is a cost issue for Washington County and for Stillwater Township to administer the election. And I certainly have districts in my house district where Cottage Grove is divided. It's much more evenly divided. I think this rose to Stillwater Township and Washington County's attention because it was such a small number of people who were in a different house district, meaning they need to have different ballots to administer the election out of a population of 2,400 to have just 12 residents outside of their where everyone else is. That's the driving factor, is just the cost of administering that difference. Is there anything you wanted to add, Jennifer?
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure. So this is it's really kind of an anomaly when you're talking about this small number of people. Does it arise very often? I mean, I don't know if you have background information. I'm just kind of curious as to how often situations like this arise, or do the courts, when they're drawing these boundaries, usually make sure they avoid these types of situations where you make such small, you know, you make some, you know, you divide up an entity with such a small impact.
I think it happens very rarely. Council, for instance, proposed that we delete in statutes these obsolete sections, where it happened after the 2000 redistricting bill, where there were a couple of references to where we did make changes, or the legislature did make changes, and council can speak to it more clearly, but there has been precedent for doing this in the past.
Okay. Okay. Great. Well, thank you. And Senator Kiffmeyer, from Stollenhaus.
We've served together, I know. I thought I could be the first one to do it. thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Sieben, there is a law that if there are less than 50 voters in a precinct, we understand the privacy of the voters is probably the bigger issue here. And there is a law already on the books, which was used many times because I helped to change it when I came into being Secretary of State, that we dealt with this quite a bit, the less than 50 voters. Sometimes it was annexation. Sometimes it was a decision of a city, township, other things like that, and they would do an annexation. And in the beginning, in our development, you might have 5 voters. We had one where we had 2 voters. And so there's current law that allows something less than 50 voters. It's an administrative process through the Secretary of State office that you are able to make the lines, in this case, flow so that you have that comprehensive district. So I would just like to ask, was that, rather than doing it legislatively, I mean, it's a lot quicker to do this administratively and go through that process. Might you have tried that?
Senator Sieben?
Senator Ekin and Senator Kiffmeyer, I'm not familiar with that, but perhaps Beth Frazier from the Secretary of State's office can answer.
Ms. Frazier, thanks for joining us. And if you could state your name for the record before.
Thank you, testify. Mr. Chair and members. Beth Frazier from the Office of the Secretary of State. Senator Kiffmeyer, last year the office had the authority and used the authority to make corrections to the redistricting plan that the court put forward in cases where the court's order was unclear or a boundary was misnamed. So, for example, there was a case where they said, well, the boundary will follow this power line, but they didn't actually understand where the power line went, and so our office had to correct that. This is one of the cases where the court's order was clear and was not misnamed, but did not seem to make a lot of sense administratively, forcing the township to have two different precincts, two different ballots, do the additional programming. I would need to look into this administrative process you've referenced. I'm not familiar with that, and I don't know whether we didn't look at that because it was right after the court's order. I know that in cases of annexation, we're able to make some changes, but I don't know when the court has been very clear about what the boundary is, if there's a difference, but I can look into that.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, this was not, I gave an example of that, what might, but it was really not conditional upon that. It was just simply a situation where he had less than 50 voters, and it was mainly the privacy of the voter and as well the cost to the local units. Just one of those things that I think we should research before maybe considering a bill. I mean, if it's necessary, it's necessary. But if not, they can do this a lot quicker through an administrative process.
I do remember after the last redistricting before this that there was a legislation introduced to change district boundaries between Representative Lynn Carlson's district and another House district. I know there's been precedent to legislative action being taken on.
Mr. Chairman, the legislature can do what it wants. It just sometimes they make a choice to do that even for other reasons than the fact that they might be able to do so. But it doesn't mean that it isn't an administrative procedure that is there, and we did many of them. But I'm just saying that if it is an avenue, and from what I'm hearing is that it hasn't been maybe researched as an option, just something that might be considered.
Thank you. And Senator Sieben.
Or Mr. Chairman, I should say that, you know, my intention was to lay this bill over, and in the meantime, then we can look into that option and have the Secretary of State's office do some research to see why the change would need to be done administratively, because I agree with Senator Kiff, or I'm sorry, by statute instead of administratively, because I agree if I'm sure Washington County would prefer to just have it taken care of now. I would assume that if that was an option last year, they would have done that, but we can find out the reason why.
Any other questions? Okay, seeing no other questions, Senator Sieben, want to move that Senate file number 216, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the elections bill?
So, sir.
Okay, and we don't have to take a vote on that, do we? Just lay it over. So that will be laid over.
And we can adjourn the meeting.
And now we can adjourn. Okay. There's no other comments or questions. Meeting is adjourned.
Done my job.
Thank you, sir.